Macmillan Digital Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of
A Beginner's Guide to Being Mental, an A to Z, written and read by Natasha Devon. From the moment you were born, it was acknowledged that you had a body and therefore a physical health. As you progressed through life, the chances are you were given information which helped you to identify when your physical health was waning and measures you could take that would assist with physical health maintenance. Most people had the importance of eating their vegetables drummed into them by the time they were 5 years old. As we progress through childhood, we're made aware of the benefits of fresh air and exercise. Via this cumulative process, the majority of people have been primed to monitor their body both constantly and instinctually. When it comes to mental health, however, we tend to wait until an issue arises before giving it any consideration. We're told 1 in 3 people will experience symptoms of a mental illness during their lifetime, and we fervently cross our fingers, hoping that we will dwell within the other 2/3. My work as a campaigner is both broad and varied, but it can essentially be summarised as an attempt to make our social mental health model more closely resemble its physical counterpart. For while statistically 1 in 3 of the population will struggle with their mental well-being in a way that is recognised within the scope of medical diagnostic criteria, 3 in 3 people have a head with a brain in it. We all exist somewhere within a spectrum of mental health. The options are not restricted to either mentally ill or fine. There are infinite variables which exist between the binaries. This book represents my attempt at a mind manual designed for use by anyone with a brain, which is everyone. I don't know about you, but I find the notion of being alone in my own head to be simultaneously the most exhilarating and terrifying aspect of my existence on this topsy-turvy planet. I can create intimacy with other people in a variety of different ways, yet they will never truly understand what it's like for me to exist within the weird and wonderful confines of my mind, or vice versa. Our neurological solitude can, in turn, make effective communication a tricky landscape to navigate. Even as you listen to this, thoughts which have exited my mind with all its intricacies and peculiarities and been committed to paper will pass through the filters of your values, beliefs, and experiences and change shape to take on new meanings. As a writer, the process of reader interpretation can be exciting. Sometimes people quote my work back at me in their own words and make it sound far more profound and important than it seemed when it was reverberating around my skull. At other times, it can feel like a violation. Like when I wrote an article about how the patriarchy is not the same as men and had all these terrifying alt-right types congratulating me on Twitter for articulating the failings of feminism as a movement. And I felt how I imagine Nietzsche must have when Hitler wrongly interpreted his work and used it to justify mass genocide, although obviously on a much smaller scale.